T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Can I talk football here for a minute? Let's talk Bears, okay?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes him. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
He really should have been the first guest for Score Stories because he's such a good friend of the show and the station, and we talk to him all football season long, and he regales us with stories. And I think, like, 20% of Dave Wannstedt's stories enjoy the name Tony Wise. And it's just an honest pleasure to bring on Dave Wannstedt on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline to the McNeil and Parkins Show. Coach, it's good to talk to you, and we want you to introduce your friend, Tony Wise.
Oh, okay, that's easy. I mean, Tony and I go back, 1976? We were assistant coaches together at Pitt with Jackie Sherrill, and he has been my right-hand man. Yes, every place we were at Oklahoma State together, University of Miami, Dallas Cowboys, Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, University of Pittsburgh. So, yeah, if I got any ghosts in my closet, Tony knows about them. So he's my right-hand man, and he's going to join us. Now, Tony's a little – Tony really could do a show with you guys weekly because he's a expert. He follows the hockey. He follows the baseball. He's well-versed. He's just not a football guy. So keep that in mind.
Let's welcome Tony Wise in. Hey, Tony, good afternoon. How you feeling, man?
Dan, how are you? Great to talk to you. Hello, Danny. Yes, I moved. I helped him move into his first house, put up a satellite dish that Jimmy gave him. So, yes, we've done a few things outside of football. Yeah.
Did Dave help you with your interior decorating when you lived in the stadium at Pitt? Man, that's really wanting it.
No one did. In fact, no one did.
You know what? I think Tony and I don't know how many years we were together, 25, 30 years. I don't know if he's ever missed a holiday meal at my house. Tony's single, has always been single. And trust me, you guys know Tony. You've seen him. The guy can eat. So that's no easy.
Yes, and that's the truth. I've got, you know, there's a number of Jan's favorite, you know, that her, sweet potato casserole, a lot of things that Jan made were my favorites. Yes. Yeah.
You know, Dave, one thing that always struck me about Tony Wise, and having had the chance to watch him in training camps in Platteville and whenever I travel with you guys, I don't know if I've ever seen a positional coach who enjoys teaching and coaching to quite the same degree. I don't know if that was your experience, but at least looking at it through the lens I had, this guy loved his job as much as anybody in the NFL.
Now, Dan, that's nice of you to say that, but the thing that's always puzzled me is I would think that everybody, isn't everybody like that?
No, I'll tell you what, and hey, Dan, I'll tell you, and players would appreciate that. I mean, we know Tony's got the reputation of being, you know, one of the best line coaches that's ever coached this game on both levels, but as players relate to him, and now, Tony, it starts in the meeting room. If you are playing offensive line for Tony Wise, the first day he writes words on the board that can never, ever be used if you're going to play for him. Tony, give us a couple of those because this is
well, great. The offensive line play is black and white. You're blocking down, you're blocking out. So we're sitting there in the film room, and I say, okay, what do you do on this? Well, I said, you kind of. Well, what do you mean you kind of? I says, well, so I flipped the lights on. I went up there and I started writing, you know, various words down, kind of, maybe, like, sort of, I thought, you know, it's not I thought I should block down. So anyway, the guys had some fun with it, yeah.
Yes, my bad.
I want you guys to reflect on one of my favorite Dave Wanstead, Tony Wise interactions. And I don't know how, if Tony drew the short straw and this became part of the job description, but having to get the challenge flag out of Dave's pocket seemed to be something that was required of you, Tony. And it proved to be costly on one occasion. I think it was Dolphins Bills, if I remember right.
It was Dolphins Bills. And Dave starts a story by saying Tony Medlin had these brand new gloves for him. So they were like snowmobile gloves. So I'm on the thing, and Joel Collier was our replay guy. So I heard Joel scream out, "He's out of bounds! He's out of bounds! Challenge it, Dave! Throw the flag!" And I look down there. I'm at the other end of the bench. I look down there, and he's grabbing with his big glove, and he can't get it. And Joel is screaming, "Dave, throw the flag!" So I did. I just went into a complete sprint. And the way I remember, I kind of dove at him and grabbed it and threw it out there. Yeah,
it was like the longest yard. You know, he's running in slow motion. His mouth is open.
Yes,
it's snowing out, and he dives and grabs my back pocket and like throws and rolls as the fly goes out onto the field for the challenge. I mean, it was the officials were laughing. I mean, it was a classic. Absolutely.
Explain to us what the dynamic was like with you guys being experts on the other side of the ball, how you would pick each other's brains. Tony, how you would talk to Dave about how certain teams were defending some of your run techniques, or Dave, other way around, wherever you want to take it.
Well, it was Dave and Jimmy was, you know, when you ever had a defensive coach, there would, you know, they would always be coming in and saying to, you know, you got to run a reverse, Tony. You know, you're doing a nice job of this, but, you know, we got to somehow get a reverse, and we got to toss the ball. It was more he would be looking at it from as he would defend us, say, boy, we got to run some misdirection, or we got to throw the ball out of that formation. Yes, that was constant.
Now, Danny, you know what? Tony, you would be a star in the offenses. I know you couldn't survive coaching in today's offensive philosophy, because one of the things that used to upset Tony more than anything, I would watch in a meeting and I would say, Tony, can we run some of those plays where we don't have to block anybody? And he would come out of his chair, and that's what they do nowadays, right? Throw the bubble screen out there and hope that your guy's a better athlete than theirs.
He would come in and say, is there any way we can not – now, we're playing the Vikings with John Randall and that crowd. He says, Tony, any way we can run something where we don't block anybody? And I would come out of my chair and scream out, sure, we won't block John at all. Let him, you know, let him just run everywhere.
we're talking to Dave Wanstead and Tony Wise together for Score Stories. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Now, Tony, one of my favorite Coach Wanstead stories is anything involving Ricky Williams.
And because he would just talk about how he would go to the islands and they'd say, run Ricky up the middle, man. And that one guy would throw one incompletion and then he would say, no more throwing. We're just running it to Ricky every single time. I have to imagine you enjoyed that as his offensive line coach.
Well, this whole thing, as Dave says, I mean, I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I mean, the guy was a great player. He was as physical as can be. He liked carrying the ball, and then as you've heard many times, the guys enjoy run blocking more than they do pass blocking. They get a chance to come after somebody and inflict a little bit of hurt on somebody. So it all fits together. So I agree. Whether it was Ricky Williams or Emmitt Smith or Rashan Salaam. Sure, let's hand it to him.
Yeah, my lack of patience with a quarterback, too. I mean, the same thing when we got to Pitt, we had LeSean McCoy, right? I mean, it took me about one interception to say I've seen enough, Tell him, I mean.
I want to jog your guys' memories. It's a rainy Monday night in December of 02. You guys are together with the Dolphins, and you're hosting the Bears on Monday Night Football. The Dolphins retired Larry Zonka's jersey number 39 that night. I was down there with my show. We went and saw the Hurricanes play Vatek at the Orange Bowl Saturday and played golf and watched your game against the Bears. Ricky Williams that night set a record for rushing yards against the Bears. And I just wonder, even though a few years had expired since the Bears parted ways with you, if that was in some ways an extra special win, given that it came against your former team.
Now, Dan, God love you, but we're just trying to win. I mean, guys are on our butts about you can't do this and you stink. And so you're right. That was quite something. We were going like mad, and Ricky ripped off about 5 50-yard runs. You're right, yeah.
Tony, what?
Mac. Hey, Tony, Mac, let's get into a little college. How about a little recruiting talk or something? Or go ahead, unless you guys got a question. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Tell us how charming this man was when he sat down in the living rooms of potential recruits, whether it's Oklahoma State, Miami, or Pitt.
Tony, tell him when I'm taking I have accepted a job to go with Coach Shula and coach the Dolphins, okay? Now, we're at the University of Miami, but I'm leaving, but it's like the week before signing day. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, we had just won the national championship, or we lost to Notre Dame. And anyway, so Dave is going to the Dolphins, and there's a week, 10 days left in recruiting, and they're going to – I wasn't recruiting anybody because I stunk at it. So, Tony, come up here to Tampa and take over Dave's four or five guys. So we're driving around, and I'm in the back like a 10-year-old. I'm sitting on the hump in the back, and I'm leaning up between the two seats between these two geniuses, Jimmy and Dave, and they're going back and forth. Okay, we're gonna tell the kids that Tony is just gonna appear in the high school. Now Dave is just gonna leave, but then Tony's gonna appear, and I'm going back and forth with these two guys. Says, guys, it's gonna be in the paper in about 2 days. What do you think about just telling the kid and his parents that? And they look at each other like, oh. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, so then we walk into the house, and Jimmy says, hey, you guys know Coach Wise, don't you? Well, Coach Wise will be around here some the next week.
He's going to be around. He's just going to appear.
Tony, did you ever see a bigger smile on Dave's face in your life than the day the Cowboys traded for Charles Haley?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right, on all our faces. But, and then Dave must have told you one of the stories about when Dave says, the meeting's over, the don't be late for the meeting or something like that. Yeah, but when they had that little confrontation.
I love that confrontation, Tony. What's your version of it?
Well, I just heard him. I mean, we hadn't played him. we only had played them one time, so I got to be honest with you, I don't have this really appreciation for Charles. So all I remember was when he finally got there, how big his hands were, how big his feet were, and how nasty he was. So then David finally told me the story after the time, but, you know, it's a good thing I like you. Otherwise, I'd beat the living snot out of you.
Hey, Tony, tell him this is a good one. We're talking Miami. Tell him when the army fatigues, because it's been out. You know, the convicts versus the Catholic thing and the army fatigues playing Penn State. Remember the bus ride or something? There was a funny story there.
Well,
when you were right, go ahead.
The story I tell is Jimmy goes early. If you've experienced these bowl games, so this was Jimmy went out early to play golf with Bob Hope, and so Dave now was going to be the guy running the show. So we got on the bus with all these guys with these fatigues on. And Jerome Brown's got his cut off. I thought it was a kind of interesting deal because they all went out and bought it. I mean, Vinny Testaverde spent all this money. So we get off, and then we got on offensive bus, defensive bus. So I'm on the offensive bus, and they're handing stuff out. You know, boy, the thing of oranges and they're all these nice things. Welcome to the Fiesta Bowl. So I'm all excited. I'm going to have a good time. Now Jerome Brown gets on our bus. And he screams out, he says, "You rotten, if I see any of you guys enjoying yourself here, we're here to win a ball game, I'll kick your." I sat up straight. I dropped everything that I had. I just sat up there like I was in church school. I wasn't going to let him kill me. Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, he's kicking your orange. You're trying to get the oranges under the seat before Jerome.
Yeah, I was trying to kick them up to the guy in front of me. Yes.
Who would have been Tony's toughest, who would have been the toughest assignment for the Miami O-line that night? Shane Conlon, was he on that Penn State team?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, okay. Shane, yes. Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're old. We're really
yep.
old.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Tony has been loyal, though. He's been my loyal, right? You know, the one story where, God, I think it was the last year we were in Chicago, and it was around Christmas time. I got to tell this story. And, you know, we're playing a different quarterback, it seemed like every week, and just trying to keep the guys playing as hard as they could. And we got, now you're into the injury part, okay? You're out of the playoffs, obviously. And we're leaving the stadium and in Soldier Field. And there's a guy in a Santa costume, and he's holding up a sign. All I want for Christmas is a new head coach. Well, I go in, you know, I mean, part of the deal, great. So the next day, I'm in the office, and all I'm thinking about is how am I going to, you know, who's going to be the quarterback? And Brian Harlan, our PR director, walks in and says, "Hey, coach, you see the paper?" And I said, "No, and I'm really not concerned about it." He said, "No, this isn't about your quarterback." He says, "This is about Tony Wise." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "He's on the front page going up into the stands after Santa Claus." and him and Joey DeBono from Tofano's, he was on the sidelines with Tony. And Joey and Tony are going up over the railing after this Santa Claus. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, all the problems I got, now I got Tony going after Santa Claus. No chance.
It is a great picture. Joey's got his hand on my shoulder, pulled me back a little bit, and I'm pointing at the guy. It is a fantastic picture. Really,
Tony,
is.
Tony, I'd love to hear you talk, and both of you, but Tony, what was the highest point of your association with Dave Wannstedt in Chicago with the Bears? I have a feeling I know the answer, but I'm asking you anyway.
Oh, gosh. It encompasses. I mean, I think one of the highlights been when we were in Dallas and he asked me to come along with him. I mean, that could be one. There were just so many, Dan. It'd be hard to just, you know, that the upset win in Minnesota, obviously. It was just wonderful time.
First year when we went on that streak, what did we win? 3 games in 13 days, Tony, or something like that?
Oh,
on the road.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Tony, who's the best offensive lineman you ever coached?
Well, that's a tough one. It's going to be really strange because none of these guys, you know, to the average guy, but Todd Perry, James Williams, Olin Krutz is a great player, but I didn't coach Olin for just the 1 year. You know what I mean? So I was only around him that 1 year. Chris Valero, Todd Perry. Chris Valero was a great player. If we had won more, all three of those guys would have got, you know, would have got more recognition. Andy Heck, obviously. Bortsy was a hell of a player. He was a wonderful guy to coach, Mark Bortz. Yeah.
You guys got Keith Van Horn near the end of his career. He'll go to his grave convinced you guys screwed him. From an outsider's perspective, he looked done to me. He couldn't move his feet, and I thought it was rather generous to pay him $800,000 or $900,000 to sort of be a player coach.
Now I'm a young guy. I've only coached it, you know, 4 years at Dallas at that time, and I don't know much. I knew of him as a Bear with the Super Bowl, but you are 100% right. He's one of those professional athlete that would not admit. I mean, he was a broken down athlete. And he may hate us for it, but that is a fact. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we did. I mean, he was a guy that I think our medical people at the time said he's got, I think it was a back injury, and they said he won't survive. And between Tony and myself, we said, well, we want him on the team. He can help us. We're trying to set a good foundation. So we went to McCaskey's and we stepped up for Keith Van Horn to bring him back on the team. God, you know what I remember about Keith Van Horn? Him and Steve McMichael came to me that first year, Tony. I don't know if you remember. And I don't know how many weeks we were in training camp. I think it was our third straight week. And we were full pads, you know, every day, the whole bit. And he came in and he said, can we talk to you? And I said, sure. And he came in and says, are we going to ever get a day off? And I said, yeah, we'll get a day off. When you want? I said, what? How about? And he says, coach, this is our third straight week. No days off, full pads, including Saturday and Sunday. And we laughed, and then obviously I think we gave him the next day off or something. But it was good. And Keith,
yeah, that's all we knew. Yeah.
Guys, one thing I'm interested in, because it was going on during your era, I'm sure it went on before your era, and it's going on now. Matt Nagy, he just hires Juan Castillo to be his offensive line coach because he knew him. Hired John DeFilippo because he knew him. Dave, you talk about Tony being your right-hand man. We know about your connection with Jimmy Johnson. And like being with the same coaches at multiple stops and the importance of you guys being able to work together and your familiarity. Can you just talk to each other about why you think that's beneficial and why football coaches are still hiring the guys they know?
Well, it's a combination of he's my best friend or the guy's a hell of a good coach. Now you got to sort out one of the two because there is some true, you know, nepotism where, you know, I mean, the number one thing is now there's a lot of bull crap that goes on. Dave could trust me to tell him the truth. Now there's a lot of guys, there are thousands of yes men because when it gets in there and you just lost to the Vikings and you're going to go around that staff room and you want somebody to stand up and say, yes, my guys did not play well enough. We have to make a change at so-and-so. Now, there are a lot of guys that have a difficulty admitting that on a Monday morning. So that's what kind of separates guys. And I would think that a lot of guys know it says, okay, I can trust these seven guys. They're going to do the right thing and we're going to help us win.
Yeah, and I would add to it, you know, I think every one of us, whether it was Tony, myself, Butch Davis, Norv Turner, guys that were together for a long time, we, you know, we were a family, but at the end of the day, I knew that if that defense didn't play good, that I might be looking for a job. You know what I mean? So there was a, you know, as close as we were off the field and on the field, you know, it was still a situation of accountability that, heck, you know, and you'd probably go the extra mile. I mean, if you really got feelings for a person, I mean, you go the extra mile to make the thing work. So, you know, if you get the right guys, like Tony said, that are good coaches and good friends, boy, it's tough to beat. You'll get through those tough times, and there's going to be tough times. There's no question about that. I don't care what team you're on.
Tony, I want to get your opinion of something that was a regular topic of conversation last football season. And Dave Wannstedt remains a supporter of Mitch Trubisky's, but did not understand, like a lot of us older guys, why he would go the entire month of August and not have to play in a preseason game. And the offensive line, for the most part, did not get much work during the month of August. Given the limitations of the CBA, limited contact during practices, how silly is that to you that the first unit doesn't get to break a sweat in August?
Well, Dan, it's not silly. I try to put myself in Harry Heisdale is a very dear friend of mine. So I try to put myself in this current of how you would approach this. How would a coach? I don't know how I would work at this because Dave's story about, you know, 2 weeks of constant contact. That's all we knew. You know, that's all we knew from Jimmy all the way down. So we weren't doing things that didn't work. So obviously, as no, there's, well, that's a difficult question. In today's age, with all these guys, and now you've got guys coming in that don't know any different. So to them, 1 day a week of putting pads on, that's normal.
Tony, if you're telling one Dave Wannstedt story, we know him. But if you're telling, I want to tell you a story, and at the end of the story, you know everything you need to know about who Dave Wannstedt is. What story are you telling?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's that. You got me on that. I didn't think about that. I did. That's tough. That is tough.
We're going to have to write this on the bulletin board for just like you did with your offensive lineman. I didn't think about that. That's something you don't say in a meeting room, Tony.
I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. I'm. Oh, okay. I'll give you one of my better ones. Okay.
Okay.
Dallas. Okay.
Okay.
Now Dave goes out to the driving range, and this is now it's 89-90, and I think the family just got a VCR. Okay. So Carrie and Jamie and Jan, they go out to the driving range. And they're starting to, and they're going to film Dave. Now, listen to this. They're filming Dave from the side. Okay? So okay. I come over to the house, and I just happen to plop down, and they're watching this on TV. They're all excited. Look, so now they're watching, and it's from the side, so they have no idea where the ball goes. So now Dave takes a swing, and he goes, that was a good one. I remember that one. That was a good one. And I'm sitting there saying, wait a second. Okay, then another swing. No, that was a bad one. That's one of my all-time greatest from the side. And they're over there, the four of them, having a time of their lives. Dad, look.
Oh, God. Well, listen, gentlemen, you two just sound like football.
Hey, don't you guys want to talk hockey? Now, Tony will talk some Scotty Bowman with you. Or, you know, when we were coaching the Bears and the Blackhawks were playing in Detroit, Tony set it up. We went out and had dinner with Scotty Bowman the night before the Blackhawks played. How about that? Tony will talk hockey with you if you want.
I still have my Makita jersey, Dan.
That's nice. You know what? I'm glad you still have that. And I loved going to hockey games with you and Dave McGinnis, who's a dangerous. I'm from Texas. I don't know much about hockey, but this don't look too good when the Hawks were.
Now let me add one more now that you mention it.
Please.
I'm all excited. Chicago Stadium. Let's go So I say, come on, Dave. Dave and Jan, come down. Now, I know the deal. He's not going to get real involved with this, but I crossed him off the list when he said to me, after the first period, he turns to me, says, Tony, how many of these halftimes are there? I never invited him or went to another hockey game with him.
That's right.
That's you didn't.
you know what I did do? Guys, the other night I watched Game 7 of the Cubs and Cleveland again when it was on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch 9 innings of a baseball game right now. That's how starved I am for sporting action, you know? I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Dave, it just occurred to me, how did you not grab onto the Penguins when you were growing up? They were born 66, 67. No reason for you to not have a little Andy Bathgate in your childhood.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess I was more of a pirate. I was a pirate guy, you know. Bill Mazeroski. You know, Maz. Yeah, I was down. I was down there when he hit the walk off against the Yankees. I was down there at Forbes Field.
Yes, oh, yeah, snuck into the stadium.
Oh God, I could do this all day.
You guys are the best, man.
Thank you guys so much for the time. Stay safe. We'll have to do it again. You guys just sound like football, and our audience loves it, and we love you for giving us the time. Thank you very much. I had a
great time up there, Danny. Dan, you know that. I had a wonderful time up there and met a lot of great friends. So
Tony's got his name. Hey, Tony, don't you have your name at Smith and Lewinsky's on the wall, don't you?
I think when Chef Hans was there, yes. I think so, yeah.
Chef Hans sweating over a big pile of meat. You guys have a great day. We'll see you soon.
And Tony's standing next to him. Tony's standing right next to him in the kitchen. I remember it. Yep.
All right, boys. Thank you.
See you, man. Oh, that's great. Dave Wanstead and Tony Wise. Oh, man. That's fun.
Tanny, you think you might be able to find a drop or two out of that?
Okay. And now listen to me, okay?
Okay. Okay. I mean, we're going to listen.
That was dueling pianos with the Pittsburgh accent. You know what I mean?
Coach?
Guys, when things get up and running as normal, let's have a show dinner at Smith and Lewinsky's.
We got to.
See what comes up.
You'll never believe whose name is on the wall. Tony Wise. It's McNeil and Parker.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the score. Welcome back in. McNeil and Parkins on the score, where the segment is brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry. Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. Mac, in these stressful, anxiety-ridden times of COVID-19 and Governor Pritzker extending the stay-at-home order through the month of April and discussing what's going to happen for kids in school and talking about contingency plans for the election already all the way out into November, having Tony Wise and Dave Wanstead talk to each other for 30 minutes is exactly what I needed.
It was for me. It was great for me. For 25 minutes, I didn't have any of those thoughts of the real world dancing around in my head, and it was nice to escape and just go down memory lane, as we've been prone to do these last few weeks and likely will continue. And I meant what I said. It wasn't just being gratuitous about how much Wise loved his job. And he said, how can any assistant? Most assistants are pretty you know, stoic, comparatively. Offensive line coaches tend to be a little bit more maniacal, but I meant that. I never saw anybody dig in. I mean, from getting excited about the way his guys break a huddle in practice, he was just crazy good in the enthusiasm department, and I enjoyed it enormously. Those were fun times at the Score, and being a member of Wani's Army had its benefits. Although the last year we took a lot of shrapnel. Terry and I were bunkered down, and Dave wound up getting whacked. But that was probably in the best interest of the organization. He went on to have a hell of a run with the Dolphins. I don't know if people recognize how productive Dave was after he left Chicago. His ardent critics tell you he never won anywhere, which is not true. He had double-digit wins in 3 out of 4 seasons with the Dolphins with playoff appearances. So, yeah, that was fun catching up. I completely forgot about COVID-19 and everything else for just a few minutes, although I was hoping to hear Tony say Mark Tuinay's name, because no one says Tuinay quite like he does. That was a former Cowboys offensive tackle who was a regular All-Pro.
I mean, listen, those guys had a hell of a run. You know, I think Dave gets his critics, absolutely, but for his era, right, I think some of the stuff for this era, you know, by his own admission, like when he was talking about, like joking about plays where you don't block and just quick little swing passes and stuff like that, like that's not what he was. But for a guy who had as many winning seasons as he did with no good quarterbacks his entire career, it's pretty damn impressive what he was able to do. And then not to mention winning at the absolute highest level as a defensive coordinator with both the Cowboys and the Miami Hurricanes. That's pretty good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that New Year's Day win over Minnesota in the playoff game, New Year's Day 95, I want to say. I figured Tony would point to that as one of the highlights, and that was the first game he referenced. So that was fun. Lots more of that coming. Hey, let me take a minute to tell everybody who's going to join us tomorrow at 4, or not tomorrow, I'm sorry, Thursday on the show. Chicago actor William Peterson is going to check in from his home in Hollywood. Between 2000 and 2015, people know him from CSI. I go back to with him to the 80s when he was starring in films like To Live and Die in L.A., Manhunter in 1986, directed by Chicago and Michael Mann. It's going to be fun to connect with Bill, who is a huge sports fan and a longtime Score listener. He left me a lengthy voicemail earlier today and was inquiring about you. You're still doing the show with Danny Parkins, right? He remembered your name, so he's excited about coming on Thursday's show. So that should be fun as well. Talk about some movies.
Can't wait. It's, listen, all things to all people, man, with all the sports news is tinged through, if there's a season, when there's a season, if there's a season, it's not going to feel quite as real. So, you know, it's nice to be able to spray to all fields a little bit, and we'll do Score stories with Bill Peterson on Thursday. We're bringing on at least one guest a day for the express purpose of telling stories from yesteryear. I heard the promo during the break, and I'm just curious about this. So it's pretty cool. David Hochberg, great friend of the station. He has helped with my social media campaign, Shane Reardon's social media campaign, to give money away on Venmo. Hit our $3,000 weekly limit in one day for the third straight week. So $9,000 given to mostly Chicagoans and Score fans over the last 3 weeks. David Hochberg was a help with that, as are all of you, though. Like, I'm going to need more people to donate if I'm going to be able to hit it again next week. The funds are at their lowest point in about 3 weeks. You can check out it on Twitter or Danny-Parkins on Venmo if you want to contribute. But David Hochberg is sponsoring something on Shane Reardon's Instagram page tonight. Good old Shane's Meat. You and Shane were the best cooks at Scorehouse. Aww. And they're doing it. So Shane is going to be doing a cooking tutorial on Instagram tonight. And it got me to thinking.
Relevant, some might say.
Yeah, okay. Well, what does that mean?
Oh. It's relevant. All content for all people tonight for Shane Reardon on Instagram. But it got me to thinking, is Shane Reardon the clear number one seed? Like, is he the Joe Burrow of Score employees, current Score employees? that you would want to be quarantined with if you needed to be, like, if we had to build a power ranking or a team to be quarantined with, if we weren't with our families, would Shane Reardon, because of his cooking prowess and his overall work ethic, would he be the clear-cut number one choice? Because I say yes.
On our show, he would be the hands-down number one, and I would suspect...
I'm saying the whole station.
Well, you know, I don't know if he would be the morning show's cup of tea. Just a thought. Certainly he would be with us, and I would guess, although Bernsey tires of him, they argued a few times out at Scorehouse. But your point's valid. On our show, he would be Joe Burrow, no doubt. I would take him first. Yeah. If we had to draft guys we were going to be quarantined with, if that's what you want to do, I'm all for it. I like the idea.
Well, because even within our show, like I think I love you guys. You know, you're my mob, but I think I would take Shane before I'd take any of you guys. Like he's just valuable.
Oh God, yes. Oh yes.
Right, like he's
yes.
a good cook.
Yeah.
He's strong. He can help lift things if there's any sort of fight that happens or furniture yeah. needs to be moved.
Hate to break your heart, but you're not on my draft board.
Yeah, no, neither are you.
I wouldn't want to be.
Draft day.
Actually, you might be on my draft board because you are a good cook and you have a huge house. So, like, if we could do quarantine at Mac Manor, like, being able to be on a golf course with a pool, like, I think you probably have the best place of anybody to be quarantined. So you actually are on my draft board.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You would have enough space to get away from me, and you'd be able to go outside and breathe a little bit and see trees, which is always good.
Yeah, so for my first pick would be Shane Reardon. Who is the second pick? If we're in agreement on Shane... Who's the second pick? You have to be quarantined for the duration of the COVID-19 stay-at-home order with a Score employee. Who's the second pick?
It has to be on the air staff, or can I go behind the scenes?
Well, Shane's not on the air staff.
That's true. He gets a lot of air time, but Russ Matera is a guy who would appear high on my list. He's our imaging
guy.
Director. Yeah, a production guy. How about that?
Good pick. Good
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, thank you. I got some value there. Yeah, he's the pass rusher from Ohio State who's going to make my defense transformative. Yeah, let me go Russ Matera with my first round choice.
Well, can you extrapolate on expand on why? Because the audience is not as familiar with Russ Matera's attributes as they might be with Chase Young from
yes,
Ohio State.
He's really mellow. Believe it or not, I'm a really quiet guy away from work most of the time. I don't always like a ton of conversation, and he's mellow, indoor voice, and he has skills in the kitchen, and I think he certainly would carry his end of the bargain in terms of sharing a workload, and we could talk at length about how much we love chasing big toothy critters, members of the Esox family in the summer months, the North American Muskellunge.
Tanny, do you have a submission for the third pick in the draft?
That's an easy one. He's my podcast partner on Locked On Sox. He's already at my house a lot of the time anyway because of the podcast. I'm going to go with my guy, Herb Lawrence. That's an
easy
one.
There you go. There you have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. You guys are good friends.
I mean, he's been a big part of this scoring team. Me and him back here at the shop every day. So we're leaning on each other in a lot of ways here.
Sounds comfortable.
Oh, Herb is very comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I don't know if I don't think we have.
We have Shep here.
We have
yeah,
Shep? Okay.
Here.
Shep, do you have a fourth pick? If we're building a quarantine roster here, who would you want to be quarantined with Shane Reardon, Russ Matera, and Herb Lawrence off the board?
Well, I think that if the guy that I get to sit next to each and every day, well, I used to be able to sit next to him each and every day, he can cook for me, he can laugh at my bad jokes, unlike anyone else ever offers to do, none other than Chris Tannehill, you're coming home with me, big boy.
Wow, I'm flattered.
Whoa.
I thought you were going to do a 180 and say, Jay Zawoski.
I thought that's where he was going, too. Yeah. I'm delighted Zazer's still on the board for my quarantine, though. Nothing against you, Danny. But
are we doing a full draft, Shep?
I don't know. Sounds Shep, that way. We don't
do you have
really?
We got 5 minutes till we have to break, right?
Can we get, Mark Grody on and explain how the draft process works here?
Yeah,
Mark
Shep, Grody's, you're on the board.
Yeah, Mark Grody's going to be chosen next by me if no one else claims him.
Oh, wow, tipping your hand.
I know.
We yeah, Brian Pace over here.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I just traded up to get Grody. Even though I held the pick, I just took Grody a fifth overall because when all else fails, I need someone to do impersonations of impersonations, and Grody's just the man.
Okay. There it is. Mark Grody off the board. He's on Team Shep, joining Chris Tannehill.
All right, so I'm going to go with another guy who I was on the air with here last week, who I've been doing shows with here at the station, producing for many years. I've sat through a lot of bad White Sox baseball with this man. I'm going to go with Joe O. Joe Ostrowski.
There you have it, Joe O. You guys can wager on marbles and watch them on Facebook together during your quarantine.
All right, Mac, you're on the board. We're drafting our quarantine buddies based on score attributes because I think Shane Reardon is the clear number one pick. He's doing his Instagram tonight, teaching us how to cook. I got him with the number one overall pick. Mac, you took Russ Matera second overall. Who are you taking with the seventh pick?
I'm taking the program director, Mitch Rosen, a friend of more than 20 years and a man who lives to make others happy. Yeah, that's his love language. He likes to perform acts of service for people and doesn't ask for anything in return, although he would be getting it on my end because I'm the same way. That's what winds my clock. So Mitch Rosen would be joining me in my version of Scorantine with Russ Matera.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. He would be asking you if you're okay a lot.
Yes,
he would be constantly checking in, and that would be reassuring.
Well, I could be a fly on the wall of their car as they drive around and listen to the radio station together and critique it. You know, that's a semi-annual tradition of theirs.
Yes, yeah, I know. Mitch goes, I'm out of the office all day. What are you doing? Driving.
I can drive. They can sit in the back seat and just comment on everybody, and I'll just take notes.
That's not. Yeah, it's a good way to do an air check, right? Get away a little bit. It's just fun. Like, what else do I need if I've got a guy to cook and lift things who will go with the flow? You know, maybe I need a as you would call it, like a plane in the air partner, because Shane doesn't partake.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be solo dubaging the entire time if you're quarantining. So I think I'm gonna go with Matt Spiegel because I know that we vibe well in that type of headspace together. So I will take Matt Spiegel for my quarantine partner, relive the Spiegel and Parkins days, and then I'll just take Jay Zawoski on the comeback, babe. The one half of the I'm Fat podcast.
Okay, all right. You got Zawzer. My pick then to wrap up my draft. Is that where we're at here?
Yeah. Three guys.
Oh,
per
we got
person.
Four rounds. We got to go four guys. Come on.
I'll take David Haw. I'll take David Haw. That's that Ball State allegiance. Nothing pretentious about David. He's a mellow dude. He's not going to get under my skin. I'd have to worry about getting under his, probably. So, yeah, I'm liking my group. Russ Matera, Mitch Rosen, and David Haw. That's a lively quartet, the four of us.
That is strong.
You're mocking me. You don't mean that.
That's strong. You reached on Matera. Let's just say what it is. You reached.
Reached on Matera.
You could have had him in the second or third round. That was an off the board pick. Overvaluing. You're the Ryan Pace of this
draft.
You're
right. You're right. I could have had Grody and Matera. What a house that'd be. Now Shep's got Grody and I'm SOL. You're right.
Danny Perkins is still on vacation.
That's my guy. Who's on the board, Danny?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll go with the guy who who's offered me his season tickets for the White Sox on many an occasion.
There we go.
He is an avid lover of sweets, so I know we would be fully stocked with all sorts of cookies and brownies and cupcakes. I'm going to go with Terry Borz's two favorite words in show business.
Lot of home!
There you go.
All of the donuts for all of your quarantine needs, Danny. That'd be perfect.
Exactly right.
Shep, your last two picks or your last – no, your – I don't even
know. No, last two picks. We got to go four rounds. We can make four rounds out of this. We might be able to get five out of this. We really wanted to. Two picks for me. One of them, I live with him. The man brewed his own beer when I lived with him. His brother did need a place to stay, so he would occasionally, end up setting up shop in the back room of our old apartment. However, Connor McKnight, great person to live with. He'll cook for you. He'll make you beer, and he'll smile while doing that, so I'll take Connor. And then my final pick, I'll take him from the Bears postgame show. The guy has a beer made after him called the Long Snapper Brew. I have to take Pat Manley.
Oh, okay.
Oh man.
Does that count?
What sure. Does that count?
Sure. He's on the air staff.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because, I mean, and you could do it at Manly Manor. He just set up a golf simulator in his house, I saw on Instagram. Yeah,
that'd help Shep.
Well, I'm just saying, for me,
that let him use it. He'd be breaking vases in the adjacent room. He's the only guy I've ever seen who can hit the ball sideways.
Yeah, no, that's hey. I'm not. Yeah, no, for Shep, that's not added value. I didn't think about Manly because having someone on your team with a big house is really, really valuable. All right, good pick, Shep. That's good value.
Yeah, it's a good all four rounds of my draft is far and away the best so far. Bernstein's still out there, guys. Danny?
Good. Yeah, well aware. Thank you very much. You didn't need to remind anyone that Dan Bernstein's still on the board.
We know who works here.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a guy who I speak to a lot outside of work. If you go through my text messages and DMs, I'm talking with this guy all the time, sharing Sopranos memes. It's Kevin Zipek.
There you go.
All right.
So his value in a quarantine situation is that he can get Sopranos quotes, Danny? Is that?
We could reenact entire Sopranos scenes for everyone else and really pass the time. Hours and hours just doing Sopranos scenes.
Okay.
Our favorite is where AJ comes home with the Sharpie eyebrows. We could do that scene to perfection.
Perfect. Mac, who's your last pick?
I'm going to take Wani. He's got a house. It's in Florida. Yeah. If Shep can take Manly, I'm taking Wani.
Manly hosts shows, though.
Yeah, so does Wani.
Does he?
Well, he guests on shows.
Right.
Oh, you're not going to let me have Wani, okay.
No, you can have Wani. I mean, listen, there's no rules here.
Hey, then I want to take Will Perdue so we can call Michael Jordan.
All right, we might have to do five or six rounds now, guys.
No, we're way late.
All right, fine. You get Wani, and I'll take Ray Diaz because there's no one more likable and agreeable at the entire station than Ray Diaz. That was fun. We'll talk to Hub Arkish. Oh, what a draft snub Hub was. Next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.